Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom. I hope if you're out on the roads, you're being careful. I know in some places the weather's a little rough. Take it nice and easy. If you're on 95, you're probably listening to us on 95.9 FM True Oldies. And of course, if you're on the Turnpike or further north or getting home, you might be up on the Treasure Coast at 106.9. In any event, be careful, drive slow, watch out for the guy next to you, and sit back and relax, because we have a really, really fascinating show tonight, a show that I've been looking forward to since we booked it. The subject matter is really, really important to me. My guest, Dr. Tim Williams, who is the medical director of South Florida Proton Therapy Institute, which specializes in state-of-the-art radiation oncology, is here. I'm going to tell you more about Dr. Williams in just a minute. But for all of you who either are struggling with cancer, have family members who are struggling with cancer, there is the chance that at some point you're going to need the kind of services that my guest provides with some really new, and when I say state-of-the-art technology, believe me, as you'll hear this unfold, I'm not exaggerating. This is futuristic, but today. I don't know how else to say that. Anyway, more on Dr. Williams in just a minute. But first, just a couple of shout-outs. I had the pleasure last week of speaking to about 60 professionals at Your Life Independent and Assisted Living here in Jupiter. What a beautiful building. If you've never been, you should check it out. They did a great job. I want to give a shout out to all of them. All the professionals who were there were very appreciative of their hospitality. And Discovery Village here in Palm Beach Gardens, Discovery Village just ran the most amazing event the other night that benefited the Area Agency on Aging's Foster Grandparent Program. They raised a lot of money doing it. It was fun. It was a karaoke event. Discovery couldn't have done a better job. I don't know if Julie Stein is listening, but if she is, you rock, Julie. You did an amazing, amazing job. And both the residents and the professionals and the Area Agency on Aging and everybody involved did a great job. And speaking of the Area Agency on Aging, tomorrow, a seminar called Bagels and Brains at the Area Agency on Aging on Elder Fraud, Abuse, and Exploitation. I know I'm going. If you need more information about that, just let me know. And then, because I think it's important, I just want to, each week I'm going to let you know of the week's upcoming support groups that we're involved with. And this week there are two Alzheimer's groups, and they're both from 2 to 2:30. One is on Wednesday at the Landing of Lake Worth. It's in Lake Worth. It's on 441. It's for those family members who are struggling with members of their family who are dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia. And that's on Wednesday, 6:19, from 2 to 3:30. And then a different group, but nearby, St. Therese in Wellington on Thursday from 2 to 3:30. Tino Negri is doing both of those. If you have ever been or know of somebody, he does a great job, and I encourage you to go. But first, or next, the reason that you all tuned in tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about my guest. Dr. Tim Williams is the medical director of the South Florida Proton Therapy Institute, and he's practiced as a board-certified radiation oncologist in South Florida since 1989. Before moving to Florida, he was assistant professor of radiation oncology at the Bowman Gray School of Medicine at Wake Forest University. You may hear a touch of that accent when we start to talk. In addition to operating a full-time clinical practice, Dr. Williams is past president of the American Society for Radiation Oncology, past chairman of the Board of Trustees of American Registry of Radiologic Technologists, and past president of the Florida Radiological Society, and a recipient of the Society's Gold Medal. He is a cum laude graduate of Georgia Institute of Technology, received his MD from the Medical College of Georgia, and took his residency at Shands at the University of Florida. And so welcome to the show, Dr. Williams. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So why don't we kind of start at the beginning? What is South Florida Proton Therapy Institute, and what exactly do you do, and why is it so important?
Thank you. I appreciate that. So SFPTI, or the South Florida Proton Therapy Institute, is our effort to bring the new technology into the area. We have a proton cyclotron, which is made by Varian Medical Systems, and it's quite a large device. They're very difficult to put into community settings, and we're lucky to have one in the area. We'll be about the 30th or 31st in the country when we open up in September, and maybe the 60th in the world, something like that. The machines are massive. The cyclotron itself is an engineering device from Germany, and it takes protons and makes them go really fast, and then we take them and direct them into patients, and then they go into the target volumes, and then they do their business to kill cancer cells.
And I know that there are 30 of these cyclotrons, but the cyclotron that you're going to be unveiling soon is really only it is the latest iteration of the device. It's only the second one in the world after the prototype in Germany. Am I correct?
That's correct. There's been an evolution of the devices over the last 20 years, and as technology has advanced to computer systems and engineering materials and things like that, the devices have gotten more complex but also more effective and allow us to treat with higher dose rates and faster scan rates and more precise treatments, things like that. So our particular device is a new generation with a very fast scan rate and a high energy, and the only one like it is the prototype that's in Germany. We're the first North American deployment of it, and then there's three other centers that'll be behind us in 6 months to 2 years.
It's really fascinating. I don't think, you know, people always think they have to go somewhere else for the latest and the greatest, but the truth is you really are bringing it right to us. You know, one of the things that I was so excited about discussing was the change in what you do and how that's evolved. And I know that when we were talking about preparing, I mentioned to you that my father had prostate cancer, and he went through radiation 25 or 30 years ago. And, you know, it took a pretty heavy toll on him back then. And back in the day, while it worked for him, it wasn't what it was today. So radiation oncology has massively changed over the years, has it not?
Oh, there's no question. I could have treated him 30 years ago. I was practicing back in that era. When I trained at Shands, for example, we were still using cobalt to treat patients. And so we would have a cobalt source inside of this big lead bomb, as we called it, and we would set the patients up on a stretcher and bring the device close to them and then walk out of the room and then pull the slot to expose the cobalt source. And for prostate cancer, for example, back in that era, we were essentially carpet bombing the pelvis, and right. We had all types of side effects that would go with that treatment that worked. It was a reasonably effective treatment. We could approach nowhere near the doses that we do today, but for the technology that we had at our disposal, it was considered pretty advanced stuff, but that was all left behind, and all those cobalt machines have taken their place in the Museum of Radiation Oncology. But back in that era, we would quote, when we would have a prostate patient, we would say the treatment works, but you're going to have a fair amount of side effects and a lot of bowel problems, a lot of bladder problems. We used to quote patients a 3% risk of a colostomy from so much damage from the radiation.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yes, I never had one, knock on wood, but we used to have to do that because that's what the data showed. And all that stuff is now, like I say, ancient history. And as computer systems have evolved, we have more accelerators now, and these are more precise machines. Most all of the centers in our area and in the country now use linear accelerators instead of cobalt, and those devices have evolved over the years. And the current generation of linear accelerators, nothing to sneeze at technologically. They're very advanced devices, and they do a lot of good work, and they allow us to treat very precise target volumes very accurately.
And that's really the key in the evolution, is that you're able today to pinpoint with an amazing degree of accuracy exactly the area that you want to radiation bomb. I don't know the word, but that you have the ability to laser focus the radiation beam on exactly that specific area. And the benefit of that is what?
Well, number one, you have to be able to treat the target. If the radiation goes all over the place, it doesn't have any type of an advantage. And today, sophisticated systems, not even talking about protons yet, the sophisticated radiation systems allow us to treat an area about the size of a quarter of a sugar cube or something like that. And you can target that inside of the body with a positional accuracy of about maybe 2 millimeters in three-dimensional space, something like that. But it all revolves around targeting and navigation and solutions for dose calculations and the machine engineering and things like that. And this is where the really the whole specialty has evolved that allows us to treat these target volumes with high precision and get high doses and spare as much normal tissue as possible.
So it's a dual benefit then, because we're targeting right at the cancer in this case, in every case at the cancer, but we're also sparing the surrounding tissue. So we're not only, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, we're not only closing in on a higher level of outcome, but we're reducing the side effects. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. But here's the thing. When you use X-rays or photons, same thing, which comes out of the linear accelerators, they will deposit energy from one side of the body to the other. When they penetrate into the tissue, they just deposit energy across their entire path length, and then they blow into the retaining wall, you know, on the side with the shielded room. And so in order to have any type of advantage, you have to have multiple beams coming at the target. So the overlap area of the beams allows you to deliver the dose to the cancer, and you have a relatively light dose for all these surrounding beams as they enter the patient. And that's very valuable, and that's sort of the mainstay of our therapy for accelerator-based or photon-based therapy. Protons, though, are different. The fun thing about a proton is that you can shine the beam at somebody and it'll penetrate to a certain depth, then it stops. There's no exit dose. And so that allows you to approach targets with much greater accuracy and much greater safety, because now you have much less of a concern about the normal tissue reactions. Instead of using 8 beams or 10 beams with a light exposure going into the target volume, you can just use 1 beam or 2 beams and have 0 dose to the surrounding normal tissue. And protons are a tremendous advantage when we start talking about local control of target volumes.
And so I think this is a good spot for us to tell people that not everybody does this, right? That there are not a lot of radiation oncologists who bring to the treatment of cancer what you bring. Is that right? It's a kind of a limited field.
It's a small niche. You know, for example, there's about 5,000 linear accelerators in the country. It's a large installed base, and it's a mature technology at that level. The cyclotrons, though, like I say, will be the 30th or the 31st in the country. So just a few places have them, you know, available for patient care. Up until recently, I was sending patients either to Penn, Philadelphia has a large and successful program, or Shands Jacksonville. They have a very nice program up there. More recently, Baptist South Miami has a program. They have a tremendous cyclotron down there, different manufacturer, about a year and a half old, something like that. But for the residents of Palm Beach and Northern Broward County, and there's a considerable number of them that have cancer and would be potential candidates for it, this device allows us to bring that technology close to home.
So what would determine who is a candidate for the cyclotron, the proton, versus the other traditional treatment?
The classical patient considered the ideal candidate is a child with cancer. Wow. Because with children, any excess dose to the normal tissue can have tremendous consequences as they mature into their adult years. The most common childhood tumor, of course, is a leukemia. We don't treat those because they're what the medical oncologists call liquid tumors. But the second most common childhood tumor is a brain tumor.
Right.
And radiation oncology for years has used X-ray-based, photon-based therapy and to brain tumors, and if you treat a child maybe 4, 5, 6 years old, long term they're going to have some intellectual compromises because of that. But with proton therapy, you can just treat the target volume and spare large swaths of their developing brain, and so you don't see the neurocognitive compromises that you would otherwise see. So it's clearly tailor-made for children. The second area where it's valuable would be in head and neck cancer, for example, where you can spare a lot of tissue on the other side of the mouth where the tumor is, and you can keep the side effect profile much more favorable. Head and neck patients have a lot of consequences from the radiation. The treatment is very effective, and most patients are cured. But unfortunately, they have to pay a long-term price for it with a dry mouth and loss of taste, things like that. Protons are desirable because now you can treat only the side where the tumor is, and you don't expose the mouth to this radiation bath from all these other photon-based beams. So children, brain tumors, head and neck, it's also good for some of these more stubborn tumors like pancreases or livers where you've got critical normal tissue nearby and you're dose-limited because of the sensitivity of those tissues to the regular radiation.
It's really fascinating. I had a bunch of things that popped into my head as you talk. I keep reading more and more about HPV, mm-hmm. Which is responsible for a lot of the head and neck cancers. That's what I'm told. Mm-hmm. And it's only, I'm only aware of it because I have teenage grandchildren or sure. children approaching the age where they're supposed to do it. So I assume that you're seeing more and more of that, which is why I guess you're bringing the cyclotron
Absolutely.
Proton to,
sure.
to that. And you're connected with Delray Hospital. I think we ought to make that clear. We didn't say that.
We should, yes. Our facility is on the campus of Delray Medical Center, and Delray Medical Center and Tenet Healthcare in general has made a large commitment to develop their oncology program in the area. And we sort of found ourselves in the right place at the right time, as it turns out. And so as they develop their oncology program, we're a natural fit for their aspirations, and their goals. And so it's a great resource, like I say, for the community. We consider ourselves a community resource.
And you said you're right on the campus. So mm-hmm. the new machine is being installed, mm-hmm. ready to go by September?
Yes, even as we speak. Varian Medical Systems has two shifts, 7 days a week, working right now.
Wow.
Yes, you've never seen anything like it. You've never seen so many wires in your life. Thousands and thousands of wires going into these big cabinets, and you open up the cabinets, and you know what you see? More wires. So it's an enormous device, and you have something you really have to see to believe. All this, to make a particle that stops, basically, it takes an enormous amount of engineering and electrical engineering and all types of things. But anyway, we are on target. We are told, in the way we're inclined to believe it, that they'll hand us the machine in the middle to the last of August, and then we need about 4 weeks to get our own beam data out of, and we'll be ready to go by the end of September.
So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it would be important to say that that just because you might not be a candidate for that treatment, that the radiation oncology in general is still really, really an important treatment option for most cancers.
Absolutely. It's sort of an unrecognized reality of the oncology world. Radiation oncologists are a very small specialty. There's, I suppose, some 800,000 doctors in the country, something like that, and about 5,000 of them are radiation oncologists. So we're less than 1%, of the overall oncology, overall medical specialty. We're about the same size as neurosurgery, for example.
Right.
But yet we treat about 60% of patients in the cancer universe. So if you have a cancer, there's a 60% chance you'll get radiation at some point in your overall arc of care. So we see more patients than any other specialty. The medical oncologists, who are considered generally the oncology doctor, they see about 40 to 50% of the overall oncology patients.
I know we didn't talk about it in our preparation for the show, but you've just highlighted for me a question. I have a very dear friend who's just been diagnosed with colon cancer, and he's gone through he's in the midst of going through a fairly aggressive chemotherapy program, which is going to be followed by radiation. Mm-hmm. So maybe when we come back, I can ask you
sure.
about the interrelationship between chemo and radiation, which comes first, why you do some, why you mm-hmm. don't do the other, if we can. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Dr. Tim Williams. Dr. Williams is the medical director for the South Florida Proton Therapy Institute. He's a radiation oncologist on the grounds of Delray Hospital, and they're bringing into our community the first of its kind cyclotron, which is going to bring a new level of specialization to radiation oncology, the ability to pinpoint tumors as they have never been able to be pinpointed before anywhere, and certainly not locally. There are only 30 of these in the country. The machine that Dr. Williams' organization and the Delray Hospital folks are bringing to us is going to be really only the second of its kind. It's truly state of the art. But as I said, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're a regular listener, we're glad that you're with us. If you're a new listener, welcome for having tripped over us. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're here every Monday night live from 6 to 7 on 95.9 True Oldies here in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 FM, also True Oldies in on the Treasure Coast. We're thrilled that you're with us. You may have questions about treatment of your cancer through radiation, and if you do, you can call us because Dr. Williams will take your call at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, you can reach me with your questions at that number. More importantly, you can reach my guest, Dr. Tim Williams, who is the medical director of the South Florida Protein Therapy Institute. They are bringing on board on the campus of Delray Hospital the latest state-of-the-art in proton therapy. We're going to talk more about proton therapy as the show unfolds. But, of course, if you have any questions, you can reach us at 877-960-9960. You know, Dr. Williams, before we broke, I mentioned the interrelationship between chemotherapy and radiation therapy and how they work together, why one comes first and one doesn't. Can you help answer the kind of broad 30,000 feet questions about that?
I'd be happy to try. Each cancer site, of course, has its own subtleties and nuances that affect the way we approach it. But in general, the first thing we talk about is local control. You know, we got to get wherever the tumor started, we got to get that taken care of. And more often than not, that's the surgeons that we get involved with, whether it's a head and neck surgeon or a brain surgeon or a colorectal surgeon or a lung surgeon. Any urology, I mean, our first job is to get local control. And so many times we use a surgeon for that, just conceptually speaking. And if the surgeons are breast cancer, for example, so the surgeon will take out the tumor, and we know based on the pathological assessment of the tumor what their risk is of having disease left behind. This is well worked out in the medical literature over many years of patient experience. So if you have a breast tumor or a rectal tumor, the surgeons will take it out, and there's a chance that they've left some cells behind. That's where I come in. I'm a radiation doctor, and my job is sort of a mop-up operation. We'll treat the area where the tumor used to be with the goal of sterilizing any potential cells that could have been left behind. We call that adjuvant therapy, and it's very successful. There are many cases in oncology where surgery plus radiation equals local control. That only gets you so far down the road because you still have the systemic problem. You know, in many cancers, you can get local control with surgery. You can get regional control with radiation oncology, but they still have a systemic risk, and that's where the medical oncologists come in. So they'll come into the case, and their job is to assess the chances of having the tumor anywhere else in the body. And depending on what type of tumor they have, what the genetic profile is, the molecular footprint, a whole host of variables these days that gets more complicated by the month,
right.
They'll use either one type of systemic therapy or another. So working together as a team, we can offer patients the best care possible.
But sometimes the roadmap reverses itself. Sometimes surgery is later in the process, and you may come first, or chemotherapy may come first. Why does that happen?
That's exactly right. Sometimes you can't have the surgery. Maybe the tumor is too close to some major blood vessel, or maybe it's in a part of the brain that the surgeons can't get into to remove, or maybe down in the rectum area, maybe they would have to take out the rectum, hook up a colostomy. Maybe you don't want to do that. So we use radiation to get local control as opposed to the surgery. And there are many cases, prostate cancer comes immediately to mind, where we can use just radiation and don't even have to do the surgery.
Right.
So sometimes we'll act as a replacement for the surgical concept of getting local control. Then there's other times, say some advanced breast cancer patients, where they have such a high risk of spread of the tumor to elsewhere in the body that we just sort of throw in the intellectual towel and we'll give them the chemotherapy first, right. Figuring we might as well, you know, get it on board because they have such a high risk of having it. And that actually turns out to be a valuable asset, because if you give them the chemotherapy first and you take the tumor out, you can get an idea of how sensitive it is to the systemic therapy, and that increases our knowledge so that we know how to approach the case after the surgery and the radiation.
And the outcomes are not necessarily driven by which order. I guess the cancer drives the story, but if your oncologist decides A comes first, then C, then B, or vice versa, that works out all right?
It's all about outcomes. You know, everybody has their input into the case, and everybody has their ideas as to what the best approach is. And working together as a team, you can determine, based on the medical literature and individual experience, what the right approach should be. And it's cancer's 100 different diseases, and every patient has their own independent variables that have to be considered. You can take a tumor that's imminently curable with surgery, but yet the patient may have heart disease, and the cardiologist put the kibosh, you know, on any type of surgery. So now you can't even do the surgery. So now you do the radiation, you know, to try to accomplish the same thing. And there are many examples. Patients aren't just, you know, boxes. Patients are real people, and they have real issues, and they have all types of variables that can affect the way you approach a case.
So this highlights for my audience and for your patient base why Dr. Google is the worst place in the world you can go to, because you just said it, every situation really is unique, and one size fits all. Just because your neighbor did X doesn't mean that you do Y, right?
Absolutely. Many of the patients that I see upon getting the diagnosis turn it into a PhD thesis, right. You know, and they download acres of information off the internet, and then they bring it all in for digestion, you know, and synopsis. And there's nothing wrong with that, and who can blame them? You know?
Sure.
I mean, and this information is readily available, but sometimes they'll have information on the one hand from the Mayo Clinic, which is very valuable, and then something from Tijuana, you know, which is not valuable. And they have a hard time navigating between which is the actual useful information or not. So part of my job increasingly, and this is a general trend in oncology, has been sort of the process of helping patients get educated about their disease so they can be their own self-advocate.
And so when we come back, I want to talk about the collaborative effort that you have with the various disciplines that you interface with and why that is so important. And then I'm also going to ask you how you got into this. If you're just joining us, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Tim Williams. Dr. Williams is the medical director for South Florida Proton Therapy Institute. That is a practice that specializes in radiation oncology. And unfortunately, if in fact you are struggling with cancer or a loved one is, a family member, father, or even child, we're going to talk some about children's cancers too, some more. We did briefly earlier. We'll come back to that. If you're struggling with that, the likelihood is that you're going to need the services of Dr. Williams. And knowing that he's here and knowing that he is bringing state-of-the-art technology to the process of radiation oncology is really something that I'm very excited to bring you tonight, and I hope that you're enjoying. But if you have any questions for Dr. Williams or for myself, please feel free, give us a call, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. If you're a regular listener, we're thrilled that you continue to be with us. If you're new and just happened upon us, you happened upon a great show tonight. I'm here with Dr. Tim Williams. Dr. Williams is the medical director of SFPTI, which is a center in Delray Beach, right on the grounds of Delray Hospital, where they do radiation oncology. And sadly, or not sadly, fortunately, if you are diagnosed with cancer and need radiation oncology, this is a place that has state-of-the-art technology equipment and, of course, the experience of my guest, Dr. Williams. You know, Dr. Williams, we were talking during the break, and we were talking before the break about the requirement and necessity of the collaborative effort of all of the doctors that come here. So you don't do what you do entirely in a vacuum. You work, I'm going to presume, mostly with oncologists, but I'm sure not exclusively. So can we talk a little bit about how the collaborative effort works and how you decide which comes first, et cetera?
Sure. It's too complicated for one person to know everything, and it's getting where it's too complicated for one person to know anything at some level. I mean, there's like 200 journals that, you know, in oncology, something like that, and so it's a very complex specialty, and you have to be a team player in order to do it well. In the community setting, I work with half the oncologists in the county, you know, at some level. And so we see patients, they send patients to me, I send patients to them, surgeons send patients to me, I send patients to surgeons. Everybody's sort of on the same team, and they know not to just plunge ahead with their own particular ideas. You know, they have to get together and everybody has to discuss, you know, what the process of care is going to be, what's the right thing to do first, you know, doing imaging, further biopsies, molecular testing. And it can only be done in a collaborative setting. So even though their office may be 2 miles down the road or sometimes even across the country, depending on who we're talking to, everybody's really focused on outcomes. The purpose is of all this collaboration is what's the best thing for the patient.
And because there are only 30 of the cyclotrons, the newest one coming to your center in a few months, you really do see patients from all over the world. You know, I'm really curious, and I'm always curious about physicians, how physicians end up getting focus in their area of specialty. In your area of specialty, there you said only 5,000 in the country out of 800,000 physicians. So that's a really narrow group of people. How did that happen?
For me, it's an unusual story. I was a junior medical student in Talmadge Hospital in the Medical College of Georgia, and I was going to do family practice. I don't come from a medical family or anything, and I had to borrow money to go to college and medical school, and this was 35 years ago. But I really like family practice. I like the idea of getting to know patients and caring them for long periods of time and working with them and, you know, helping them and sort of being there for them. And that was very desirable for me. And medical college was known for to train primary care physicians. So that was good. But, you know, primary care has a very difficult lifestyle. And just when the case gets interesting, you have to refer to some specialist or something. And right. So you don't really get to make the diagnosis all that much. And it wasn't really a rapidly technologically advancing field. And so while it had the advantages of a lot of patient care, at the same time, it had some issues that were really difficult for me to digest. At the same time that I liked family practice, I also liked, of all things, diagnostic radiology, because we had the computers, we had the rapid technological development, we had the intellectualism, being able to make the diagnosis, you know, and it was a very interesting and intriguing, specialty for a guy like me. The problem is, of course, you have no patient care in diagnostic radiology, right. So you sit in a dark room all day long and just look at x-rays, and I found that totally unacceptable. So I had this exact same conversation with my intern at the time in the second floor of Talmadge Hospital, and he said, "Tim, you should do a month of radiation therapy. I think you'd really like it." And that was the first I'd ever heard of it. We didn't really have much information about that particular, especially it was even smaller back then. And so anyway, I thought that was a good idea, I guess. So I signed up for a month of it, and it was like the doors opening up. It has everything you could ever want in medicine. You get all of the patient care that you want. You get long-term relationships with the patients. I've got patients bringing their children, believe it or not, in oncology.
Wow.
I've been here 30 years now. I've treated 11,000 patients in that time frame.
Wow.
Yes. And you have all the computers, all the intellectual stuff. It's got everything you could ever want in medicine. And so I was considered myself very fortunate that I found it. And that intern is named Scott Gaz-York. He's one of my dearest friends that I've had for my entire life. He's a great guy.
Isn't that wonderful?
Great guy.
And I would guess, based on what you just said, that it combined your original desire, because you really are very involved in outcomes. I know we keep coming back to outcomes, and we haven't really talked enough about it, and we will when we come back from the next break. But you really do stay with your patients, and you have a lot of victories. I mean, I don't think, you know, I guess I'm singing to the choir when I talk to you about this, but I tell people all the time, when you go into a doctor's office and you hear the word cancer, you don't hear anything else after that. You have just zoned out, and you're kind of not processing anything. But we're making unbelievable progress mm-hmm. in cancers today, and in large part because of the work that you do. I mean, you really are impacting the quality of life for your patients. I know I'm not blowing smoke there.
No, I mean, I'm a small person, you know, in a very large oncology network. You know, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds, thousands of oncologists around the country doing the same thing, you know, trying to improve the outcomes. We've come a very long way. One of the main things that we always like to promote is screening, you know, get the mammograms, get the pap smear, get the PSAs, you know, get the CT scan of your chest if you're a smoker. If you can find these tumors early, you can almost always beat them. And so in a sense, you have to be your own advocate and pay attention to your health. But at the same time, the reality of oncology, you have to get at some level lucky. You have to get the right type of a tumor, because there's a lot of tumors that we do very well with. We win a lot more than we lose. But there's other tumors we still struggle with, you know, and right. have issues every day, you know, trying to improve the technology and obtain better outcomes. But it's always about the outcomes.
So my guess is that most people, the thought of coming to see you scares the hell out of them, but they feel a lot better when they leave. And really, you are offering hope where most they probably are coming to you with little or no hope, or certainly confused because they've been spending too much time with Dr. Google. Anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Dr. Tim Williams. Dr. Williams is the medical director of the South Florida Proton Therapy. We haven't spent enough time talking about this new piece of equipment that's coming into his community, into his facility on the grounds of Delray Hospital. We're going to talk about the cyclotron. The cyclotron that is coming to his office is one of only 30 in the country. And because it is as new as it is, it will be only the second in the world of this iteration. It is brand new. So while there are other proton therapy units around the country, not that many, there's none quite like this, or at least there won't be for a short time. And it's going to be on the grounds of Delray Hospital. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about outcomes. We have a whole lot more. But if you have any questions for Dr. Williams, you can call us 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. I'm glad that my guest is with us tonight, Dr. Tim Williams, who is the medical director of South Florida Proton Therapy. Proton therapy. What's proton therapy? It's got to be really confusing to some people. It was to me until I learned about it. One of the things that Dr. Williams' practice revolves around radiation oncology. Most people with cancer are going to come into contact with doctors like Dr. Williams. At Dr. Williams Center, the South Florida Proton Therapy, they're bringing on a brand new piece of equipment called a cyclotron. There are only 30 in the United States, 60 in the world, and they're going to be introducing truly the first of its kind outside the prototype next edition of the cyclotron. And so we're going to talk more about that right now. So, Dr. Williams, can you dumb this down for us so people understand what it is we're exactly talking about?
Sure. Like we talked about before, most radiation treatments are regular x-rays, but protons are more valuable because they stop. Well, here's how it works. And it gets a little bit technical, but basically we take hydrogen, which is a proton and an electron. We peel the electron off and throw it away. So we've got a proton left behind. And we take a bunch of those protons, and then we put them in basically a 100-ton electromagnet, and it spins the protons around really fast. The cyclotron itself is about maybe 2 meters in diameter. It does weigh 210,000 pounds. It's a superconducting magnet, so the whole thing is cooled down to 4 degrees above absolute zero or minus 450 degrees Fahrenheit with liquid helium, so it's superconducting. You put this massive amount of electricity into it, and you spin the protons around really fast. And the protons are going about 97,000 revolutions a second around this 2-meter ring. And at that speed, they're relativistic. They're about 2/3 of the speed of light. And so they become sort of relativistic, and they get really big, and they get really energetic. And then you extract them out of the cyclotron, and then you take them on this very complicated beam line and steering system and ranging filter, and then you put them into the patient. So the whole device is basically enormous. You have this big cyclotron feeding in this 3-story rotational gantry for beam handling. The patient doesn't see any of that stuff. It's all behind the curtain. The patient sees just a regular treatment room. They're on a table, and the machine has an aperture that points at them. It doesn't really make that much noise. It sort of hums a little bit, and there's sort of a drone in the background, you know, for the equipment. But it's actually quite pleasant, you know, and conversational type of an environment. We play music, you know, and get the ambient light setting for the comfortable. It's really sort of an easy thing to experience. The patient doesn't feel the proton as it goes into them. But it's very complex because the machine makes a spot, a 4-millimeter proton spot. And it'll put that spot pretty much anywhere inside of the body that you want. If you have a 4-millimeter target, like a trigeminal neuralgia or some type of small thing in that you want to treat, just one spot. But if you have a large tumor, you know, say maybe 4 centimeters by 5 centimeters, the machine actually paints the dose inside of that target volume. It goes spot, 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 moving around inside of the volume, and it brings the dose from front to back and then top to bottom, and it'll treat at about 10 milliseconds per spot. So in about a minute and a half, you got the target volume treated to the tumor dose. And that's all the energy that goes into the patient. There's no scatter radiation around the normal, the nearby normal tissues. There's no a significant entry dose. The dose only goes where you want it. And that's an incredibly valuable a commodity for us as radiation doctors.
So does it kill the tumor? Does it shrink the tumor?
Yeah. The fundamental biology of all radiation therapy, protons included, is DNA damage. The cancer cells are not very good at DNA repair. That's how they became a cancer cell in the first place. They have mutations. The normal cells are really good at DNA repair. They're normal cells, and normal cells are really, really good at DNA repair. So you put this energy into the target volume, normal tissue and cancerous tissue, and the cancer cell will accumulate that radiation damage, and then when it tries to divide, it'll die during that attempt at cell division. The normal cell will heal it up. That's an 18-month radiation biology course summed up in 90 seconds.
And well, you did. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Tim Williams, who is just a great guest. And if you tuned in late, or if you tuned in for the sports show that follows, and you thought, boy, I wish I had known this show was going to be on, I have good news for you. You can listen to it because we podcast it. Yes, we do. It'll be up on the podcast platform tomorrow. Just search OMG, I'm Getting, and up it will pop. This and any of our previous shows will be there. You also, if you're not a podcaster, and many of us are not, it'll be on my website, palmbeach.comfortcare.com, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. When you type that in, you're going to really try hard to put a T in that word, comfort care. Do not do that. If you do that, you won't find it. You won't find the radio show, and you'll have missed all of the education that was here tonight. Because if you're one of those people that really likes the show, but you don't have a radio and you're not around that often, you never know where you're going to be, there is good news because there's an app for people like you. It's called TuneIn Radio, and you can download it on any of your smartphones. Just set the reminder for WSVU down here in Florida, 6 o'clock every Monday, and we'll be there. And, of course, wherever you are, if you have online capabilities, we simulcast at www.trueoldiesfla.com, www.trueoldiesfla.com. Next week, I'm going to have Rachel Blumberg here. Rachel is the executive director of Abbey Del Rey South. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how to select a senior living community for you if you want to move out of your house. Rachel is going to talk about what you do once you move in there, because Abbey Del Rey South is a life care community. You go in an independent, you stay through assisted, you can go through to skilled nursing if you need it. It's a wonderful education. It's a wonderful explanation of what life will be like in a community should you decide that living at home is not for you anymore and you're thinking about going into a senior living community. In 2 weeks, it'll be July 4th week, and I'm going to be on vacation. But we will still be here. We'll have a great show. I'm going to be up in Hilton Head enjoying the weather, maybe playing some golf. You never can tell. And we will be here, though, with a great show. And I will tell you more about that next week. But I still do have time with my guest here tonight, Dr. Tim Williams. Dr. Williams, we haven't told everybody how to reach you. So how do people reach you if they want to.
Sure. The phone still works. You know, our phone number is 323-6498, and that's a direct line into our office on the campus of Delray Medical Center.
And I think some people might have the impression that the only way to get to you is by a referral from an oncologist or from a surgeon of some kind, and that's not true, right? There are other ways that people can get to you.
Absolutely. We do primary oncology, as it were, and so you can call up for an appointment without a referral, as long as the insurance company, you know, doesn't have a closed network.
So let's talk about insurance briefly, mm-hmm. as long as you open the door for me. Are the treatments by this new cyclotron going to be covered by most insurance?
Most of the time. It depends on the context. The machine is very expensive, just to get that out of the way. Yeah. It costs $25 million.
Wow.
And it costs $2 million just to ship it from Germany. And the building to put it in has 14 feet thick concrete walls, and so the building costs about $25 million again. So it's a very expensive machine. So protons are more expensive than photons or X-rays. But they're not scandalously, outrageously more expensive. They're about 50% more expensive than a standard course of radiation. And many times, because the particle is so useful, you don't have to give as many treatments. You can give more treatments per day. So in some cases, it ends up being a wash. You can get the same outcome with less proton treatments, where we take more regular radiation treatments. So at any rate, if you're over 65 and you have straight Medicare and a supplement, they pay for it. If you're under 21, your child with cancer, almost all insurance plans will pay for it. Nobody, you know, is going to argue with high-end therapy for a child with cancer. But if you're in between, 21 and 65, or if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan or some of these Medicare HMOs, usually they don't pay for it, at least not automatically. And so a lot of times you have to get on the phone and plead your case with the insurance company. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. A little bit of an indecorous aspect of our healthcare system. It's another story. But the point is that if you have an appropriate condition where the protons make sense, many times you can get coverage for it.
And based on what you just said, if I heard you correctly, sometimes can accomplish the outcome that you're looking to in a shorter period of time.
Correct.
And so that's a real benefit in terms of reducing ongoing costs for somebody with cancer. I think it's important that we establish clearly that this is not in any way, shape, or form from prevention. This is only after diagnosis.
It's right? A good point. Yeah, I'm great at targets. Give me a target, and we can treat it with the protons with a very high accuracy and minimal, if any, normal tissue dose. But it's not any type of a screening tool or anything like that.
And we talked about it during the break. The outcomes on previously very difficult outcome cancers are really amazing. Now, I know early on, for those who missed the beginning of the show, we talked about this is most likely in use or most frequently used for children with brain tumors, not leukemia per se, because you said that's a,
it's
word.
It's more of a liquid tumor,
Right. Or head, neck tumors and brain tumors. But you can't prevent things from these things happening. So I lost my train of thought there for a minute. But one of the things we didn't talk about, are there any side effects from this?
There's no free lunch with radiation, and so there always can be side effects. The big advantage of protons is that we avoid this radiation bath of regular X-rays. We've got multiple beams coming at a target with lighter doses that treats the all normal tissue, to a moderate dose, and that's where most of the side effects live. With protons, you can treat the area and have no radiation exposure to the normal tissues. But still, for throat cancer, for example, the tumors in the throat, the energy goes to the throat, so you're going to get side effects. Esophagus cancer. The tumors in the esophagus, the dose goes to the esophagus. You have side effects. Rectal cancer, wherever the tumor is, that structure, that normal tissue is going to have to get some irritation.
And HPV plays a huge part in some of the cancers that you talked about before. I don't know how much we can say about that because there's much of the population has been exposed to HPV. But I guess, if I, again, don't want to put words in your mouth, what you would say is if you think something's wrong, you should get it checked out because you're doing some great things in getting people healthy where they weren't healthy before.
You should. Of course, the first thing as an oncologist we want to say is that children before the age of puberty, before their sexual activity, need to get the vaccination, male and female, both boys and girls need it. That could eliminate cervix cancer and eliminate anal canal cancer, eliminate head and neck cancer in their generation. So we strongly advocate that vaccination. But for our generation, this HPV virus is baked into us. There's 150 different serotypes. It's a wart virus, basically. And three of those wart viruses are associated with cancer. And we all, like I say, get exposed to them. It's more than just you get infected by the virus, you get a cancer. There are other mutations that have to take place. Your own particular genetics plays into it. So there's still a lot of mystery as far as what happens to induce the cancer itself. But clearly HPV is an endemic precursor to cancers of the anal canal and the head and neck. Fortunately, for all of us, it's more curable than the types of tumors that occur in the same areas that aren't HPV driven.
Oh, that's interesting. So one more time, how can people reach you?
Sure, yeah. All right. We're SFPTI, the South Florida Proton Therapy Institute. We're on the campus of Delray Medical Center in Delray Beach, and our office phone number is 323-6498.
you're a wonderful guest. I hope I can entice you to come back one day. Yes, just full of information, really valuable information. And I can't wish you enough good luck with the installation of the cyclotron. It sounds amazing. I can't imagine watching it go in every day. But wow, I mean, it's just it's an amazing new development, and for our area, I'm glad that you're bringing it to us, and I'm glad you took the time to come here tonight. I know it was a long trip up here for you, and I appreciate it. Yeah. And you're not working any less hard than you would have in a family practice, because you told me what your hours are now. Anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night, 95.9 and 105.9 FM, 106.9 FM. I'm being corrected. It's a long day for all of us here. Anyway, we're here every Monday night live from 6 to 7 o'clock on 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM on the Treasure Coast. I hope that you come back to us next week when we talk with Rachel Bloomberg, the executive director of Abbey Delray South. I hope you have a great week. Stay dry. We'll see you next Monday. Good night, all. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom.